Memorial Day sale is going on now at Ashley. Summer styles are just around the corner with 20 to 50% off. Plus, get 60 months no interest financing with no minimum purchase. Find deep, restful, life-changing sleep with Tempur-Pedic and save up to $500 on select Tempur-Pedic adjustable sets. Plus, get 5 years no interest financing. Don't miss summer inspiration and new summer styles during the Memorial Day sale. Happening now at Ashley. Financing is available with approved credit on qualifying purchases. Ask store for details.
Let's get it started in here.
It's been 5 weeks since Sam quit. Hopped on a horse and said, see ya in a bit. 2 weeks to replace the temp. They said, we'll get someone in. It should happen real quick. 3 weeks since we realized this is going slow, only to Brett's surprise. Now here we are, it's coming to an end. Even though he's a Packers fan, we still like him. Hey, we used to call him Fake Sam. Then there was no Sam, but he's covered like a Superman. His humor's twisty, takes no lip, although he likes to play the clips that you often hear right here on Gay Fan. One time we joked about his hairline, but then we did fine. Balding's a touchy subject. Talkbacks make his head shake. He never did flake. No bad callers ever got through. Gonna make a break with his sports take. I mean, the dude is freaking great. He's not vanilla, even though he's from the Midwest. Gonna leave the show, he's gotta go. But we all know he's gonna grow, cause the news quiz is only for the best of the best. How can we help it when we laugh, cause your takes are bad? Sad to see you go, we really, really feel bad. Sam's boots are big to fill, but you handled it bigly. Even after the wild blew that playoff series. But you'll be back when we need another fill-in. Hope the new guy's collarbones are titanium.
It's been 5 weeks since Sam quit.
Hopped on our horse and said, see ya in a bit. 2 weeks to replace the temp. They said, we'll get someone in. It should happen real quick. 3 weeks since we realized this is going slow, only to Brett's surprise. Now here we are, it's coming to an end. Even though he's a Packers fan, we still like him.
See, we still like you.
Hour three.
How long does it take to write something like that?
Oh, man, that one took me days. I worked on that. I don't even want to get into it. And then it was another 2 days to convince the guy who sings them, my partner in the parodies.
John.
Yeah, John, of course. John. Took me another 2 days to convince him to actually do it. He's like, I don't think I can pull this off. I was like, I got faith in you, buddy. Uh-huh. I got faith in you. So it finally came together. I'm really, really pleased with how it turned out. Tim is actually the guy. Tim Pilcher is the fellow that produces and sings all the parody songs for us. And the guy does a phenomenal job. So I want to give him some credit and some kudos on that as well. He pulled it off.
It's not me singing them, as people tend to think.
No,
I offered to sing this one.
I turned that down.
Drew wasn't 100% sure whether or not he was going to get it back in time. And I was like, you know what? I got a mic at home, and my door shuts.
It's not even a matter of... Because I've tried to do that as well. It's not a matter so much of the singing of them. It's the production of them that really... You know, I am not good at making them sound professional. You know, it's like you can tell the difference between a Drew produced parody song and a the stuff that this guy does.
I would have produced it.
I bet you could tell the difference between a John produced parody song and what this guy.
You don't know.
You're right. I don't.
You don't know.
You're right, Sam.
I'm gonna keep the two of you guys in mind. So a couple of years ago, when the COVID shutdown was happening, myself and Representative Mary Franzen went out and we tried to write, or I tried to write, some of our own parody Christmas songs and sing them on camera while standing in front of the governor's mansion. If we do that again, that's a big if. Mm-hmm. I could use some assistance coming up with some good lyrics.
All right, be happy to help. Yeah. Happy to help. I've written a zillion little stupid parody jingles, you know, here, so I've gotten pretty adept at it. You hear three more coming up in the Friday News Quiz at 8:35.
Oh, that's right. We do have those as
well. We do have the parody round in effect for today. I did go, I will say up front, I went easy on Tim, the parody guy. I went easy on him this week because I knew that I had put a big, big order on his plate and I wanted to give him a bit of a break. So
I've helped on occasion write a few of them. Not a lot. Drew's done the majority of that. I helped on a few. Although the one that I completely... It's funny, that just made me think of it. The one that I did write in total, I remember I even sang a portion of it to get the cadence right. And that's the one he never did. I wonder if he was offended or something. I don't know. Or it just wasn't that good.
Sometimes... I know.
Sometimes it doesn't work out.
I've had this happen to me a number of times. Sometimes I'll send him something and he's just like, no. Sorry. Yeah.
One of these days you got to do Justice and Drew the album and release the parody song.
I've considered. Yeah. I've got a few ideas and you're right. One day something like that will happen.
That used to be such a huge thing with morning shows when they would release, you know, cassettes or CDs of the bits and stuff that they did. But now it's all so changed.
Everything's available.
You know, here, just go get it on YouTube.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Omicron. Exactly. Here you go.
And there's something to be said for scarcity too. You know, and that's part of the thing. It's like, there's something to be said for, you know, only being able to hear something by listening to, for example, Justice and Drew, and not having it available on demand at all times. You know what I mean?
You know, like
Amy Klobuchar,
she really is going back to being the senator of small things, isn't she?
Yeah, we will get to the...
She's revising her... She's returning to her role of what she's good at.
We'll keep with the political theme. We will get to the walls of fictions, but since we did invoke Baby Shark, Amy Klobuchar...
Yesterday on the show, we told you about how Amy Klobuchar and Tina Smith are spending I forget how many millions, you know, some eight-something million dollars to increase outdoor accessibility for people that apparently don't have access to outdoors. So my only conclusion is that she's buying doors.
I was going to say, like a door.
Okay. She's buying somebody a door.
Okay.
It came down to like expanding green spaces and park spaces in certain communities that apparently didn't have access to it. There was one thing we did learn with that, because we wiped out a bit on inclusive playgrounds and weren't sure what exactly
we never heard that term
that
before.
Yeah, I never heard inclusive playground before. The only thing that I had ever seen like going on a playground is, you know, there's usually a sign up there with rules for the playground, and they often have like age limitations, right, for getting on the playground. But it turns out, and we were very thankful to many of the listeners who pointed this out, the inclusive playground aspect of it is important. It was to allow children who deal with disabilities better access to certain playground equipment or playground equipment that they can also use that, you know, typically they would not be able to because of the design of equipment. I go, okay, well, that makes legitimate sense. So that was a part of it. The rest of it was utterly ridiculous.
Well, the rest of it was all really...
As is this story here from CARE 11.
Yeah, now Senator Klobuchar is introducing bipartisan legislation to enhance pool safety.
Well, yeah, she's really back to the small things.
She's back to what she's good at, which isn't much.
Got
to
stay in your own lane.
Mm-hmm. Right. Stop running for president.
Yep.
Stop angling to be the next Supreme Court justice. It's not going to happen. That window has closed, Amy. You're not going to be the ambassador to whatever country you want to be the ambassador to. You're not going to be the Secretary of Transportation or the Secretary of State or the Secretary of Agriculture or whatever cushy job you were hoping for. You're just a senator from Minnesota. That's all you'll ever be. And that would be good enough for most people, but for Amy Klobuchar, I know hearing those words stings because she's had those higher
America.
Ambitions.
I'm Amy Klobuchar, and I will beat Donald Trump.
It's when you guys are supposed to cheer.
Wow.
So she's back to being the senator of small things. She has put together a bill to enhance pool safety. And a story out of CARE 11. The goal is to keep people out and about in pools and lakes and make them all safe.
Good for you, Amy.
I thought she already made them all safe. Didn't we years ago have the thing with the pool drains? Wasn't that her?
I'm sure.
That's what I was thinking.
How do we need to make it? How do we make them more safe?
The bill would bolster safety standards and promote awareness.
Awareness of
I love
pools.
Pools. Okay.
I don't know.
Well, I do know every once in a while that the neighborhood dog or maybe a squirrel will jump on the pool cover and drown itself, but how much safer can they get?
I don't know. You know, with this, we had the story. We didn't get, and I know they're not coupled together, but you just turn, you know, you look at it in terms of priorities. Yeah, two armed suspects that stole an 18-year-old woman's car in a parking lot of a Target in Plymouth yesterday. The police department had, and there was video footage of this. Two men armed with handguns confronted the victim, stole her vehicle at 9:49 p.m. at the Target on Vinewood Lane. She was not hurt, thankfully. These types of crimes are unusual, used to be, for Plymouth, but as a good reminder that crime can happen anywhere, and it's important to be aware of your surroundings. And again, these aren't coupled together, but just in terms of priorities, for crying out loud, Amy, please.
This actually is it's just a reauthorization of the pool drain bill
okay.
that you were referencing here. This was a bill that was passed in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
It was in response to a girl who had yep. suffered an injury from a pool drain accident. So this is the Virginia Graham Baker Pool and Spa Safety Reauthorization Act. And it just reauthorizes the original law. I don't know why Carol Levin felt like they had to make a big deal about it other than
they got to give her publicity for the small things that she does.
Every time Amy Klobuchar does something, it's going to be like, oh boy, here she goes. There's our senator.
I don't know why you guys keep ripping on her.
You're waking up today, and you're going to see me on your Twitter account because I made it here at 1:15 a.m. through the snow. Donald Trump once called me Snow Woman for a reason. Nothing will stop me. So I hope nothing stops you from coming to our office in Concord and Milford and
Portland. Oh my gosh.
Getting called Snow Woman by Donald Trump has to be like the high point of her political career,
so
right?
So what was the context of that, calling her Snow Woman?
I don't remember.
Didn't she do her presidential announcement?
She did a press conference out and about, and she had the snow was falling. Yeah. And she made her announcement, I think that's what it was.
She was in Minnesota. She made her announcement, and it was during a blizzard, and snow was sticking to her hair, and Donald Trump called her Snow Woman, and that was just the best thing that ever happened to her. That's the high point of Amy Klobuchar's political career.
651-989-5855 is the phone number.
Oh, look at this. Don in Burnsville. Haven't heard from you in a while, Don. What's going on?
I just haven't been listening in as often as I used to.
Is it because Sam left?
You mentioned earlier.
Don, hold on. Don. All right. We're already starting that one. Don, I got a question.
Sure.
Is it because Sam left?
a little bit. But No, I've been on vacation for 3 weeks out in Washington, D.C.
Wait, hold on. How old are you, Don?
92.
And you're retired, right?
Yeah.
You're always on vacation. What are you talking about?
What?
You're always on vacation. You don't have a job.
Retirement is just another word for it.
From listening to your program.
Oh, I got you. Okay, well, everybody needs a vacation from that.
That sounds more like
I'm going to take one here real soon.
Sounds like a punishment, actually. But go ahead, Don. Why'd you call it?
Well, thank you for taking my call. But I wanted to point out that earlier in the show, you covered how social media is guilty of promoting lies and hate and anger and name-calling.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think that right-wing talk shows like yours are pretty much guilty of the same thing?
No.
Oh, well, why not?
Because we don't do that.
You're certainly guilty of the things that I mentioned.
Of promoting hate?
Yeah.
How? Will you give me an example?
Well, by name-calling,
Lies. Okay, I will, we gotta...
I should show you my email sometime or play some of the voicemails
so,
I get.
So, let's, I do want to parse this out really quick here. Okay, I do want to parse this out because they don't fall under the same umbrella. Okay. Hold on, let me parse it out. Okay. We'll call names. I call names, and I've always had my own sort of set of standards by which I'll go and do that on a show. I'm not going to go and call somebody a name or criticize somebody unless they have done something which, in my opinion, warrants that type of response or prompts me to go and do that. And I have no problem with people calling me names, right? If it's warranted, I'm not going to call somebody something that they're not. Okay, there's a difference. However, there's a big difference between sort of name calling, right? Criticizing somebody, right? We do have free speech, and perpetuating lies, perpetuating hate, advocating for violence, and things of that nature. So to lump them all under one, I think, is very disingenuous. So when it comes to online discourse and name calling, whatever, people do that all the time. People do that in public. I've got no issue with that. But there are lines that get crossed with this when they're advocating for violence, you know, advocating for individuals' bad behavior because they're angry about an issue that they had nothing to do with. Calling somebody names with no evidence whatsoever of that, spreading hate. There's a very definitive difference in my opinion of those things.
Hey, Don, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
So this is Representative Eric Lucero, and in totally off a different topic. So in the recently concluded legislative session, Republicans were pushing to fully exempt Social Security from tax. And that was something that we've been pushing for a long time. I just heard that you say you're 92 years old. I presume you're receiving Social Security. Is that something that you're in favor of?
I think that mostly benefits older people when you exempt Social Security. Rich people, when you exempt Social Security from taxes, because most of the lower income people that collect Social Security don't pay any taxes anyway.
So do I understand you correctly then that you agree with the Republican push to exempt Social Security tax?
No.
You don't agree?
I see some... I think that it benefits mainly rich people if you exempt Social Security from taxation.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Fair enough.
Anything else, Don?
Yeah.
Why did I ask? My bad. That was my bad.
You mentioned earlier in the week that we should be more concerned about the weekly shootings in Chicago.
No, didn't say that.
I would say more concerned.
Did not say more concerned, Don.
At least as equally concerned.
Yeah, well,
did not say no, but did okay, but you interpret no, Don, but you interpreted that wrong. We did not say more concerned. If you're going to go and mention these things, you need to be accurate in what we actually say on the air.
But again, what's your point? What's your point or question?
I think you said that why aren't we concerned about
forget what we said. What's your point or question?
We're so concerned about schools and
he doesn't listen.
When there's far more deaths in Chicago every weekend.
Okay. So get to your point.
Okay.
No. Not right.
So
we didn't say that, but get to your point.
My point is this: if we put more armed guards in the schools, how's that going to help reduce the number of killings in Chicago?
What? Okay, Don, we're done. Don.
What?
We're done. I'm not even going to entertain that because it's so completely irrelevant to what we were saying. 651-989-5-
take another vacation.
585. Listen with better ears, Dawn, please.
We'll be right back.
The Memorial Day sale is going on now at Ashley. Summer styles are just around the corner with 20 to 50% off. Plus, get 60 months no interest financing with no minimum purchase. Find deep, restful, life-changing sleep with Tempur-Pedic and save up to $500 on select Tempur-Pedic adjustable sets. Plus, get 5 years no interest financing. Don't miss summer inspiration and new summer styles during the Memorial Day sale. Happening now at Ashley. Financing is available with approved credit on qualifying purchases. Ask store for details.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130.
I disagree wholeheartedly. Adulterating Winnie the Pooh is nothing sacred anymore.
Nope. Nothing is sacred anymore.
Talking about how the public domain has passed now on an entity like Winnie the Pooh, and that came before Disney. I mean, there was another that Winnie the Pooh. You can find the Winnie the Pooh books pre Disney.
Disney did not create Winnie the Pooh.
Most of the stuff that Disney has, they didn't create. For crying out loud,
fair. At least a lot of their early stuff.
Yeah,
early stuff was co-opted or appropriated from existing works that had been out there for a long time.
I want to see the slasher movie involving Oswald the Lucky Rabbit.
That call from Don in Burnsville, man. You know, there is a part of that though, and we kind of touched upon it, you know, and that unfortunately that is the view that a lot of people have, you know. Like I said before, I've called people names, but I have my own sort of judgment call. If you've done something stupid, I'm going to call you stupid.
Well,
if you're acting like an idiot, I'm going to call you an idiot. I'm going to criticize you if you're doing something dumb. But that's a heck of a lot different than much of what we see or even what is said at us online on a daily basis.
You know, joking about our senior U.S. senator focusing on things like pool safety and putting doors on buildings or whatever it is, and inclusive parks, that's just, you know, joke. That's just kind of you know, it's like parody. That's normal discourse. That's different from calling your opponent a Nazi and how they're evil.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right, exactly.
And wishing harm on them.
Sure, we engage in some name calling, but we don't do it with hate. We don't do it with hateful intent. And you can't necessarily say that about our friends on the left right now. The friends on the left right now are all about politics of confrontation, and we've never ever advocated for anything like that on our show. But they're all about get in their faces,
yeah.
Go to their houses, tell them how evil and wrong they are. These people, they are murderers. I mean, they equate not aligning with their positions with murder.
Right.
That's what the find me someone on the right that does that. It doesn't happen on the right, at least not people that we roll with and the people that we talk to. We don't see it and we don't perpetuate it on this program. But if you don't agree with everything the left wants to do, you are just as bad as someone who walks into a school in Texas and kills innocent children in their mind. And they want people in their faces. Maxine Waters wants people in your face. They've all talked about it. They've all pushed this idea. The politics of confrontation. Beto O'Rourke in Texas the other day, right? Yeah. Confrontation. Get in their face. Yell at them. You know, he's being celebrated and cheered.
So on a local level, Drew, I've received probably 3 or 4 emails in the last couple days that are saying, I have blood on my hands, to the point you're making.
Mm-hmm.
I have blood on my hands if I don't support gun control.
And don't take this in a disparaging way. I don't mean it. But, you know, you're talking to just one state representative from Minnesota. That's it. You're just one guy, one state representative. Yep. You don't have a ton of power. You're not running around with a magic wand and could just make things happen.
Yep.
You're one person in a parliamentary body in Minnesota where this didn't even happen. And you're getting that. And so is every other Republican around the country.
I get called a racist on a daily basis without a single shred of evidence. And if I were, I wouldn't be on the air. And that goes all the way. That goes all the way back to when I was in Tucson. And I always challenged everybody. Look, if I've said anything racist, then by all means, call and tell me what it is. And if I had, I guarantee you I wouldn't be on the radio. Speaking of which, a former friend and a friend of the show joins us, Rick from Tucson. Good morning, Rick. How you doing this morning, sir?
John, my friend, it's good to hear you. I don't usually get up at 4 o'clock in the morning because you guys are 2 hours ahead. But I turned you on this morning and always appreciate listening to you and your sidekicks back there. What happened to the young lady that was with you all? She retire?
She got engaged.
She left the radio business to focus on her horse business.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah. She's very happy.
John, I just wanted to wish you the best of health.
Thank you, sir.
I know you got some challenges coming up, but I trust that you're going to be doing just fine. And like I said, I appreciate listening to you. And there's only one comment that I really, and you probably have already touched on that, is when President Obama made a god-awful comparison between George Floyd and this shooting. And it just, why we have to conflate issues instead of just focusing on the principles of good government and trying to find different ways, and this is on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah.
Find different ways to address the best interest of the people of this country. And being in the mining business back here and watching what the left is trying to do to our mining industry, critical minerals, the reality is that clean energy will not be able to support the power and utility issues that are going to be needed through this hot summer coming up. And the Midwest is going to be affected by it.
Yep. Yeah, we already are. We already are. Hey, Rick, it's great to hear from you, Rick. Really, I'm glad you called in, and I appreciate you getting up early, too. You know, it's funny, too, getting back to the discourse. You want to talk about the hate. I mean, I've had people already say, you know, hey, I know about your heart surgery, but you know what? The world would be better off without you.
Mm-hmm.
People that put that out there. Mm-hmm. I've had people on there, they say, you know, John's children yelled, build the wall of Hispanic people. That never happened.
Never happened.
John supports tasering pregnant women. Never happened.
I don't know where that
people make claims that you've donated to Kyle Rittenhouse. Neither of us ever donated to Kyle Rittenhouse. You know, you're friends with Joe Arpaio. I never met Joe Arpaio. I talked to him once on the radio and never lived in an area where I could vote for the man. I mean, when I talk about the lies that get perpetuated and the hate that gets perpetuated, it's not coming from us. And those people, they know that. They don't have cogent responses and sound arguments to make. So that's what they end up defaulting to.
I think part of the problem, too, is, there's a difference between being a political activist and an elected official. And I think we're seeing, I would be curious, you know, that those blue books, those legislative manuals that the state puts out, if you go back in time, I'd be curious to see, when you look at the professions of the elected officials in there, and it's on both sides, but it's particularly on one side, to see what percentage were listed their profession as community activist or organizer or working in some other branch of government as their full-time job besides being a legislator, compared to being a business person or a lawyer or a physician or, you know, in some other...
Doing something where you're providing value.
Exactly.
Contributing,
and I think that's part of it.
To the world.
I think that's part of the problem with the discourse is hey, if you want to be a hardcore partisan activist, God bless you. But that's not the type of discourse that necessarily belongs in the halls of government.
Yeah, that's not how government works.
No.
That's not how parliamentary bodies work. You know how government works? Government works by compromise.
Right.
And people don't like to hear that. People on the right don't like to hear that. People on the left don't like to hear that. But government doesn't work. Legislative bodies don't work without compromise, without both sides or even three sides or four sides, however many sides coming together and figuring out, okay, we want to accomplish X, Y, and Z. How do we get there?
The two bills we talked about earlier, the one that I know already has been signed, I don't know, the liquor bill, the CBD bill, I don't know if it's already been signed yet, but it's on his desk. Those are examples of bipartisan pieces of legislation. That was both sides coming together and putting those together and sending them back to, you know, the Senate, Republican Senate, and the Democrat House and saying, we're voting on we're doing this, and they got them done. That's how it's supposed to work. It's not this, you know, sniping at one side and calling them evil and saying they're going to kill people.
Yeah, activists don't compromise.
No.
Activists never have any room for compromise. And that's why you have such a dysfunctional government in Minneapolis right now, because half of that city council are activists.
Right.
Or at least if they're not activists themselves, they find themselves beholden to them, because as Andrea Jenkins found out not that long ago, the minute you stray from the orthodoxy for just one second, they will be in front of your house, and they will be surrounding your car, and they will be calling you, Andrea Jenkins, a white supremacist. So, you know, we need to push these activists out of positions of power and stop electing people who are going to be beholden to them, because nothing is ever going to get done.
Right.
And I know we're short on time, but I just want to touch upon this and encourage people to go to alphanews.org and see the entire piece for themselves talking about this eviction moratorium. But you want to talk about activism. I mean, Governor Walz in Minneapolis, man, baby, mayor, mom jeans. Yeah, he deserves that title. You know, I mean, they're activists in their own right. You know, Governor Walz said when it came to the eviction moratorium, this is a way for folks to be made a little more whole as we move back to normal, but we cannot leave folks behind and we cannot have a cascade of evictions. Fry said it will be put to making sure that people have homes, that housing is a right. The story breaks down this couple that had a home that they were renting out. Around 2018, 2019, the dream became a reality. We had the funds to purchase this home. They remodeled a 6-bed, 2-bath home on Penn Avenue North. The property manager vetted a tenant who moved in October of 2019, and it was Section 8. Part of the Section 8 agreement, the government covered nearly 90% of their rent. Their rental was $2,300 a month. They were paying $250. Those payments came with
the subsidy.
No problems for almost a year. October 2020 was the last month that they paid a dime of anything. By then, the eviction moratorium in Minnesota meant landlords had to leave renters in place, even as disgusting reports of damage began to come in. And the story lays out that there were some funds that the homeowner was able to recoup, but the tenants destroyed their home.
Yep.
They absolutely trashed it. They had to cover $2,200 of unpaid utilities. They detached and broke every single door in the house. They ripped off the railings on the stairwells. The carpet was trashed. They made a makeshift toilet in our front room. And now there is human feces everywhere. And they're on the hook for all of this. It came with a bunch of unintended consequences for these landlords with this eviction moratorium. But again, That was a form of activism.
It's 100%. And Governor Walz, look, what was his comment? Something effect of, we need to ensure homes for people or something like that.
Yeah, housing is a right. Mayor Fry said, he said, making sure that people have homes.
Okay, and that comes at the cost. And I saw this article, and the young couple from Texas, they appeared to me in their late 20s, maybe early 30s, mm-hmm. from the picture. They made a sacrifice. They took a risk to better themselves in the future. And it came at a huge cost to them. And yet Governor Walz and Mayor Fry don't care at the incredible damage that is the resulted to this young couple.
Yeah. Yeah.
The story is not yet, the chapter is not closed on this eviction moratorium stuff, because we're talking off air. There's a federal district court case. It was originally dismissed, and the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals reversed the dismissal and remanded it back over whether or not that eviction moratorium that the governor put in place for as long as he did, constitutes a taking and entitles those landlords to compensation. So it's something that we're watching. We have a lot of landlord clients. We dealt with some of these frustrations in the last 2 years. So we're keeping an eye on it. So for the landlords out there, there may yet be relief here. Walz once talks about his Walz checks. He may be writing Walz checks. It may be settlement checks to landlords.
Boom.
Boom.
Mike's dropping.
Yeah, that's lawyer extraordinaire right there.
I sued him before. I'll sue it again.
That's how you got that name, buddy. All right, it's time to find out who the champion of the news is. Will it be Jeff O'Brien? Will it be State Representative Eric Lucero? Or will it be the temp?
Brett.
We'll find out next. Stick around. Final segment. Friday edition, Justice and Drew. It's time to find out who the champion of the news is. Your contestants are lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien, state representative extraordinaire, and that's official.
Yep.
Eric Lucero, and producer, just kind of okay. Brett.
Please clap.
Nice.
Three rounds in your Friday news quiz. Of course, your first round is your audio round. We've got six audio clips to play. Your job is to tell us who is speaking in these audio clips, provide relevant context to when appropriate, and bonus points may or may not be awarded at the judge's discretion, and all judges' decisions are final.
The grand inquisitor of the show.
Subjective.
That's right. That's right. I'm feeling very authoritative today.
I can tell.
This is going to be a harshly judged news quiz.
Mm-hmm. What's new?
Lawyer extraordinaire. Who's this?
It is intolerable. And it is unacceptable for us to have in the state anybody who would kill little kids in our schools.
I don't know.
Eric?
Go ahead.
Peter O'Rourke?
Temp?
Brett's Three Fingers Mordecai Brown?
That would be Greg Abbott, everybody.
Texas
Greg.
Governor.
Greg Abbott.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott. Eric Lucero. Audio clip number two. Who's this?
But the one consistent thing we've seen all session is Democrats have blown past deadlines.
I'm going to guess Senator Miller. All right.
You would be guessing correctly. That is Senate Majority Leader Jeremy Miller talking about the end of session, of course, and how the Democrats, and that is kind of a constant theme with the Democrats with the House DFL over the course of this session.
Hold good things hostage and delay. That's right.
Like sand through the hourglass. Brett, who is this?
And the decision of one man to launch a wholly unjustified and brutal invasion of Iraq. I mean, of Ukraine.
Oh, come on. It's going around, apparently.
One of the Bushes?
you know, give it to him.
I guess.
It sounds just him. Like
yeah.
One of them.
Can you give us a first name?
I mean, George,
there,
I would
okay.
hope.
There you
I just
go.
Don't know which one.
There you go.
But
I'll give it to you.
There's multiple.
It was yeah. W no H.
W no H? Okay. Yeah.
He's young. We'll let him slide.
Yeah. And what's
one of the Bushes.
You know, I think you're doing a great job judging this game, Drew. I got to say.
I hadn't heard that clip, by the way. It's going around. But let me just. He's not president anymore.
It's true. It's big, true. He hasn't been for a very,
very long time.
Very long time. All right. We're circling back. Jeff O'Brien, Audio clip number four. Who's this?
There's some national headwinds blown against Democrats around the country, but what I'm buoyed about here is just the strength of our candidates. Our incumbents have a great record of success.
It's got to be Ken Martin, right?
That is got to be Ken Martin, who thinks his incumbents have a great record of success.
That's funny.
That's funny.
Eric, who's this?
Julie Blaha called. All right, audio clip number five. Eric.
I really hate the end of the legislative session.
Ryan Winkler.
Probably the only thing he's ever said that you agree with.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yes, that was in Ryan Winkler's retirement speech.
Is this for good this time?
Version 2.
Version 2?
Does he really mean it this time? Is that it?
Yeah. No, of course not. He's not going away.
No.
You know, he's running for a Hennepin County prosecutor.
The Jar Jar Binks of the Minnesota legislature.
if that doesn't work out, he'll be probably running again for the state house next time as a political creature. All right, Brett, final audio clip. Who's this?
You know, when we talk about our children, I know for this group, we all believe that when we talk about the children of the community, they are the children of the community.
I think that would be the vice president who, vice president, who's also the vice president who does vice president duties. That's Kamala.
Well, I know that when we talk about the vice president, we're talking about the vice president.
Who is not the president, but the vice president.
It's like the president, but vice.
But vice.
Vice president.
Right. It's not quite the president.
Magnets. Yeah. How do they work?
Eric and Brett, 2 points each. Jeff, 1 point as we move into the parody song round. I got a parody song snippet for each of you. If you can tell us what news story is being referenced by these parody songs, you will be awarded points accordingly.
Larry Extraordinaire, here's your parody.
What the president is calling an incredible transition is the greatest ripoff ever known. The higher the price gets, it seems that it's their plan to buy electric cars we can't afford to own. In the land.
That would be the president seemingly happy about the continual rise in gas prices.
Yeah, we'll allow that. Yeah, looking more specifically, him calling them an incredible transformation. We are in the midst of an incredible transformation, but we'll allow that.
I just a hat tip for actually going through and getting all the way to the chorus on that. That's a good job. That's a good job there.
Eric Lucero, what's this about? Go ahead.
Case in point.
I'm hoping that it's the falling apart of the legislative session. All right.
Yeah. Specifically, Governor Walz calling in and saying, you know, end these deals over the Zuck Bucks.
Yes.
All right.
We'll allow it. Maybe it's not being judged harshly this week. Maybe I'm being very liberal with the points.
Brett.
Yes.
What's this about?
Don't try to have sex with me. Don't want the pox from a monkey. I'd rather suffer through a really long dry spell than that, you see.
I'll even give you a bonus. You know what? I'm going to give you a bonus.
What's going on for
answering with audio of your own.
What is happening?
That's pretty good. That's never happened before. That's the first time, Brett.
I know we don't have time for me to go on this tangent, but Drew, I so appreciate, like, you have such a definitive style of writing parodies. it really is indicative of, like, you know, an artist and how they come up with their signature sound. Like, you know, I just,
thank you for recognizing.
So specific. It's great. It's fantastic.
All right, we move into the final round. Brett, 4 points.
Let's go.
Eric, 3. Jeff, 2.
Let's go.
This game is won and lost in the headline round. We have 10 headlines with blanks in them. Buzz in with your name when you think you might know the answer. Your job is to fill in the blanks in these headlines. We'll start with headline number 1. Tim Walz signs the Free the Blank Bill.
Jeff, Free the Growler Bill.
That is correct.
Sorry.
Headline number two, 2 points available here. Stacey Abrams calls blank the worst blank.
Brett.
Jeff.
Brett.
Georgia, the worst state to live. Yeah.
Wow.
2 points, Brett.
It's a bold That's strategy, a governor, Cotton. Right? Yeah.
See if that plays out.
Right. Headline number three, blank wins special GOP primary.
Jeff. Brad Finstad for the 1st Congressional District.
Jeff's on fire today. He's quick.
I was
going to
say my competition is very quick.
I'm Samming this thing.
Jennifer Carnahan, 8%. Headline number four. GOP senators won ethics review of blank.
Eric Senator Fatwa?
Fate.
All right.
Yeah.
Omar That's a Fate. Half point at best. No. I'm kidding.
Headline number five. Blank slasher movie made
out. Jeff.
Pretty sure I heard Brett first.
Winnie the Pooh?
Well, it's a good thing I... That all worked out in the end, didn't it there, Drew? Yeah, didn't it? Yeah.
That's why I was confused. I was going to include it in the prep, but I actually included it in the news quiz.
All right. Headline number six. Blank disappears from Kamala Harris's public schedule. Boy, that could be anything.
I know.
Brett, coherent sentences.
I almost want to give you a point. We will accept joke answers, everybody. Blank disappears from Kamala Harris's public schedule. Anybody? Immigration.
I was going to say, trip to the board. Okay.
Immigration.
Yep, not sure.
Headline number seven, two blanks in this headline. More than 1.2 million blank left public blank since pandemic began.
Jeff, children leaving public schools.
Yeah.
2 points, Jeff. That is correct. More than 1.2 million kids. That's a good start.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That's a good start.
Headline number eight. 2 points available here. Minnesota green lights small doses of blank.
Jeff, CBD in food and beverage products.
Mm-hmm. Can you finish the clue?
I can. Minnesota green lights small doses of blank derived from legal blank.
Eric, cannabis.
Brett.
There's still 2 points here.
Yeah. Delta 9 is the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Delta 8.
We're
Delta
7. We're
Delta 6.
Stop. Stop. The road you are traveling on leads to ruin. Just stop. So, small doses of THC derived from legal hemp.
We will award a point for cannabis for Eric.
We did.
Headline number nine, Biden walks back blank comments for a third time.
Brett?
Jeff.
The Taiwan comments.
That is correct.
Oh, wait, hold on. This is in... For a fourth time.
Yeah, he's walking it back again.
Again, really wants to go to war. All right, headline number 10. Last headline this morning, 1 point available. General Mills to sell
Jeff,
blank.
The period crunch?
No, but I do have the story in my hands.
That is not General Mills.
That is not General Mills. That was a Swedish company. General Mills to sell blank.
Iconic brand. We talked about it on the show earlier this week. Come on, somebody.
Make a great meal. Hamburger Helper.
Hamburger Helper. And with that, we have a tie.
Oh,
we ended up with a tie.
Wow.
Because Brett couldn't remember the Hamburger Helper story.
And our tiebreaker was actually a period crunch question. So got that one blown.
Jeff O'Brien. And Brett tied 7 points each. Eric, 5 points. Respectable showing.
I'm doing better than the wild.
I've lost
every time I've been here, but I'm doing better.
It takes a few tries. You know, there's a rhythm to it that you kind of got to get.
And listen, just because I don't want to leave the audience, they're like, what? Huh? Well, okay. A Swedish intimate health brand, Intimnia.
Intimate health?
Is promoting Period Crunch, which is a new product with bright red uterus-shaped cereal pieces meant to promote menstruation conversations at the breakfast table.
Because that's where you want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the breakfast conversation that you want. I mean, I'm fine, comfortable talking about menstruation. I am a man who is comfortable talking about menstruation, but not at the breakfast table. I don't want to talk about it over breakfast. My only question is it like Cocoa Pebbles? Does it turn your milk red?
Oh, come on.
Intimina gynecologist Dr. Sri Datta said, I'm delighted.
You're really proud of that one.
This gynecologist was delighted that Intimina has taken the bull by the horns and developed Period Crunch to help raise awareness of the ongoing social stigma around periods. And we should put a period on the show.
I think so.
And credits.
Probably a good time to do that. Eric Lucero, great job.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Very good seeing you again. Anything you want to plug before we let you go?
No.
Nothing?
No, not too.
Right. Yeah. Have a good summer. Have a good weekend.
Plug the weather. Weekend.
Jeff O'Brien, anything you want to plug real quick?
Get your growlers, get your CBD, and Tim Walls, we're coming for you again.
We're going to, there is a lot to that CBD story, and I think next week we should reach out to our good friend Josh Hastings and spend a little time talking about that next week, because there's some issues with mm-hmm. that we want to cover. Brett, fantastic job yet again.
Thank you.
You'll be here Tuesday. We are off on Monday for Memorial Day. Lyons and the crew from the Minnesota Military Radio Hour will be heading up the program that morning, so tune in, and we'll be back on Tuesday.
Love the skin you're in with Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa's facial services. Enjoy the tranquility and deep relaxation while giving your skin a rejuvenating glow. All facials are tailored to your individual needs, using the highest quality ingredients designed to give you healthy, radiant, and younger looking skin. Visit any one of their 500 Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa locations to get your introductory custom facial. Book online at handandstone.com. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.